All right, Matt. So what I want you to do is take your right hand, put it up, make a fist. Now shake your head back and forth. Yes, welcome to the Rock Show, baby. Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show, you guys. What's
guys.
Going on?
And Chris, do you know that's not how it goes, right? I mean, maybe you can do it that way, but it's this, you know, maybe you're trying not to do that. But anyway, welcome, guys. We're so glad that you're here. We're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can with what God has given us and share what we've learned and stuff like that. And we're going to keep moving forward. Right, Chris?
A couple of Catholic schmucks. Yeah. we're here. We believe that Catholic fatherhood is and will change the world. So let's dive on in.
Dude, this intro is so metal. So anyway, go ahead.
It's an intro about an intro, so it's also so meta. So there you go. All right, guys, we're going to talk about three lessons that were learned at a punk rock show. Three lessons for Catholic dads. Three lessons for you. So let's dive in. At an intimate venue with an obscure punk band, right? They were celebrating their 25th anniversary of their biggest release. 25th anniversary, okay? So these rockers were in their 50s at best, right? The outdoor stage grew brighter as the sun faded. The floor started to crowd as the second opener rocked their set and kept the floor bouncing. The average fan in the crowd had clearly dusted off their old black concert shirt and rolled up their sleeves to reveal their now fading tattoos of yesteryear. It was mostly full of people in their mid-30s and mid-40s. Professionals buying into the lie just for one night that they could be young again. Lesson number one rolled in as a tough-looking dad in front of us waved towards his daughter. I mean, he was tough-looking. But I think he was tough-looking because of age more than because he chose to. He was bald, and it was just like his neck just met his head. You know, those tough-looking bald dudes? But like, back in the day, it was because they shaved their heads. This guy, I think, just lost his hair. Because again, we were all an aging crowd at this punk rock show, right? So he was waving his daughter towards him, and she was intimidated by the crowd. But the group around us assured him that we would save his spot. Go get her and bring her in. So he did. He went and got her. And so even as the opening act lambasted angst against political pundits, a fuel that's all too commonly thrown on the flames of division that engulf our polarized society, the people in the pit were just other people who we were out on a weeknight to sing older songs to and rock out, right? So community is quickly built, and people in general are not just good, but great to one another. So the dad comes, brings his daughter, and I offer her. I pull out of my pocket an extra pair of earplugs and offer it to his daughter, the teenage girl now standing next to him. She declines, and I let her know that her 40-year self will thank her. The dad affirms this, and she receives the earplugs and loosely puts them in her ear. The lesson that I learned here, lesson number one, is that humanity is more good than bad. And not even by like a small margin. And we need to lean into that. As Catholic dads, we need to know humanity is generally good, better than what I think maybe what the news, what the political sphere kind of makes it. And yes, I said sphere, so don't judge me, Matt Rice. and as Catholic dads, I think that we play a part in building a society that amplifies the fact that we are good. People are good. And at a punk rock show, it was showcased more than it was, because you would think at a punk rock show, everyone's like, yeah, fight the man, fight the system, rage against that machine, baby, whatever. But people are generally good. And that was lesson number one.
All right. Before we move on to lesson two, I do want to say something, but, so you're talking about community, like that, it's interesting because that same concert when you were of age, like appropriate age for a concert. Sorry, like old people shouldn't be at concerts. No, that's a joke. But but like when you're 22 at a concert like that, that doesn't happen. Like the community, like what you're talking about doesn't happen. At most punk rock concerts, you know, and most concerts like that, it's definitely everybody's out for their own. And I'm going to get my spot. I don't care if this is your spot right now, it's going to become mine, you know? But I do think that there's something that, and we've said this before, something that shifts when you become a father, like when you become a dad, something shifts, but then also like maturity, age, you know, being old, knowing that if I break something now, it's going to take me a lot longer to recover, you know, that kind of stuff. And if you break something now, Like the person next to me, if you break something out, it's going to take you longer to recover. And I know how that feels.
Right.
So I don't want to make you break something either. And so I do think that there's something that changes. And even like there's something else with regards to the longevity of following a particular band. You know, everyone that's at that concert has been following that band. Like everyone that's 45 or older has been following that band for that, like that long, the same length of time. So there's a camaraderie there that's built. Because of that duration. And I don't know if I'm getting into other lessons that you talked about, but I think that's one of the reasons why that community is built is just the longevity that, like we've had this common experience, this common passion for a very long time. I don't know how into the band you are, you know, and I don't know, like if I'm as into the band as you are or whatever, or if I'm the biggest fan, you know, but that, but there's still a connection there that wouldn't be there just in the normal crowd, like walking down the street. There's not going to be that I'm like you moment, but here there's an I'm like you moment because we share the same passion, the same interest.
And there's something about, there were a couple of dads that brought their teenagers and everyone in the crowd was all about like, there's younger fans being cultivated right now. Like, let's try and make this the best experience for these teenagers as possible, because the average age in the audience right now is 40. You know what I mean? And so if we want younger crowd to fall in love with this music, we better bring them and celebrate the fact that they're here, you know?
Yeah.
So often the point or the big point here is that so often as dads, particularly Catholic dads, we feel like, or we're at least left to feel like it's us against the world. Right? We have to protect our kids from the so many monsters that are out there. And this shows up in ideologies, approaches to education, media consumption, agendas, you know, fake news, all that stuff. And it's expressed in bumper stickers, social media posts, t-shirts, and so on and so on and so on. To be clear, some of these threats against our children are real and require diligence. We have to stand guard to raise saints in this world. But when you remove all the labels, like people are generally inclined to care about our kids as well.
And maybe
even more so than care about us as people. But when it comes to the children, I feel like people are generally wanting what is good, even though they might disagree on what the highest good is. They generally, if a kid it falls down in the middle of a street or something like that, cars slow down. They don't speed up, you know, like people generally care. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting to kind of what you said with regards to that is that sometimes we will protect our kids and put them in this bubble and go to the concert by myself and not bring my kid with me because it's not the most wholesome, or there's going to be people smoking pot there, you know, or there's going to be stuff there that I don't want my kid to expose to, but who better for them to be exposed to it with than you? Like really, dad, like your kid's going to be exposed to that at some point in their life. Their
for,
first exposure.
For you to model your like, response to it.
Yeah. Their first exposure to that should be modeled by you. Like like you said, places like this, maybe not a current popular band, but a older crowd popular band, that kind of a concert to go with. Like, cause I really do think that if you were to go to a current popular band, there would be a much lower, you know, age, you know, average, and it would not be as safe a place to go as this old fart punk band, you know,
an obscure punk band. Like the venue held 1,100 people and it did not sell out until the night of the show. Like people are just like, yeah, this thing won't sell out. I'll just walk in. And they were right. Like this 1,100 people, we went and saw The Offspring and like there were thousands of people there. Of a variety of ages. And that is still an older, I wouldn't say The Offspring is currently relevant, you know?
So. Yeah. My point was that I'm not necessarily encouraging dads to take their kids to the new popular kid concert or whatever. But that don't be afraid to share with them like the music you grew up with that you like, if they had a concert, because it is an older crowd. It's a little bit of a safer place to introduce them to that world and what concert going is like. And I think that's a good lesson for young people to learn, is what they are going to see, what they are going to be exposed to. Cause if your kids are like mine and go to, you know, a private school, or even if they're homeschooled or whatever, there's a lot of stuff they don't see, that's out there in the normal world, the secular world. And for them to see, oh, holy moly, dad, what's that smell?
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's pot. You know, that's weed. You know, and they're like, they may even say, "What's weed?" And it's like, well, it's a drug that, you know, people smoke to get high. And that's, I mean, you can tell them whatever. Like, I think it makes like a really neat opportunities. But then also, I think like what you're saying, you get to see that not everybody's out there out to get your kid. You know, right. That person who is about to light up, if they're right next to your kid, I've seen them actually move away.
Yep.
I've watched them move away from like a minor when the minor's with their dad, you know, or whatever, with their parent. And even like those who are smoking cigarettes do the same thing, because they don't necessarily want to be a bad influence, or they don't necessarily want to harm the people around them. At these shows, at other shows, I haven't seen it quite like that, but.
Well, yeah, but I will say that there is something about our generation, that Generation X, that was just like no fear, and like that was definitely had this kind of angsty teenage angstiness that bled into the music and bled into the experience and bled into the shows as well. You go watch a document on Woodstock 99 and people were out to execute violence on one another at these shows. And then that was an understood agreement as you walk into the concert, you know. But like, even I went to like a Blink-182 concert, and there was a younger crowd. Millennials and Gen Z were most of the population, with mostly it being millennials, to be fair. But the pit at that show was like nothing like the pit that when I first saw Blink-182 in the late 90s. Like people were losing teeth. And at this one, it was almost like people were asking, "Hey, what's the recommendation for the best coffee shop around here?" As they're running around in a circle together. Yeah. And I was literally shocked. I was looking around. I was like, did people become soft? Maybe people became kind over the years.
Maybe they became kind. Maybe that was the way we were, because I broke a rib in a mosh pit. Like, that's the way that, like, if I got into one now and it was lame like that, I'd be mad, you know? But just because it's like not the same anyway.
Good. All right. But so let's move on.
Before we move on, I want to pause you for a second. The first half of it, you know, and this guy, like, I don't know if Chris, you want to cut this or we're going to leave it in there, but the first half of this sounded like you were reading from a script. And I want to hear the story like off your head, not necessarily from a script, because there's a, does that make sense? I don't know if you were reading something.
There's a Christmas that you long for.
I long for the authentic Christmas. And I think everyone listening to this longs for the authentic Christmas.
Well, so ladies and gentlemen, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. All right? Is that what you want? You want me to stop using big words?
That's what I want. That's what I want.
All right. So the next piece, we're there. And I went to this show by myself. And actually, my lovely wife was worried. Like, yeah, you need to find a friend to go with you. Like, no one likes this obscure band. Like, I even asked you, you and I grew up listening to the same type of music. And you're like, I think I've heard of them, but I don't remember a lot from those years, Chris. And I understand that, Matt.
There's a reason for that.
That's a different episode. So I mean, there's people when I want to go to the Counting Crows concert, you know, let's age Chris real quick. I went to Counting Crows. I went and saw Tears for Fears. Like, there's people that I can find to go to those shows, but this one, no way. So I'm like, yeah, but it's this obscure band. People there would be like, cool, you like this band too? Let's be quick friends. And that's what happened. So I'm 6'3". I'm there. I get pretty close to the venue because the venue was as big as someone's back porch. Like, it just wasn't big. And so I let these 5'10" guys jump in front of me. And after the first act, I kind of tap one of them on the shoulder. And I was like, that's a t-shirt from the release of the album that they're celebrating. That t-shirt's 25 years old. And he's like, heck yeah, it is. And then we just start talking. So then the next band comes out. You would have loved them. They're like an authentic ska band from the UK. They're there in moments going, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Like, it was total ska. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That would have been awesome.
And then after that one stops, like, they're showing off their cars to the people around them. Like, yeah, I've got 6 cars, blah, blah, blah. Check this one out. And I'm like, what are you guys doing showing off your cars at a punk rock show? Like, it just seems like that was like what we were rallying against. And now some of these people have arrived to where they can own multiple cars. And so they're like, well, don't you collect anything? And I was like, I got 6 of something, but it's not cars. It's children. And
you didn't talk about your garbage pail kids?
I should have, man. That would have been the spot to showcase my Garbage Pail Kid collection. It's so bad.
I can't believe you forgot that.
I know. I know. Shame on me.
That's so funny.
But his buddy was like, wow, man, my grandparents had 25 kids. I'm like, 25 kids? How many twins and triplets? And they're like, well, they had like 11 miscarriages. And I was like, oh. I said, well, if we're including miscarriages, then I have 11 kids. And his buddy, the other guy, turns to me and goes, what? And I said, we've had five miscarriages. And he goes, I think God put us in this spot of the concert for a reason. I said, what's up? He goes, my wife and I just suffered a miscarriage a couple months ago. And so it was at 15 and a half weeks. And I shared my story about how mine was at 15 and a half weeks, our very first one. And you guys can listen to the episode that we did on miscarriages for the full story. But I was like, and we named ours baby Michael. It was really healthy to name the baby. And he's like, I know, we named ours Michael as well. And it was just like, I know. So then all of a sudden we just embrace. So we're at this punk rock show and we're both like tearing up and just sharing our hearts in a level of vulnerability that even lifelong male friends don't typically share with one another.
Yeah.
And I've known this guy for a hot minute. And so, you know, we exchange each other's numbers and things like that. And we just connect a little bit more. I talk about my journey as a Catholic. He's got connections to Catholic Church as well and offer some encouragement. But then the headliner comes out and the whole area that we were in, there were other spots on the railing that you could like kind of get a bird's eye view on it because it had like an upper deck area that a lot of people went to. But the whole area we were in turned into a mosh pit. And I want to say a kind Gen X mosh pit, because when someone like fell over, everyone would stop and help them up. And then we would go and beat each other up again or whatever. So we got separated. And then the band gets up there and they're about to play their super angsty song. He's like, is anyone going through a hard time right now? And my buddy, he raises his hand. And I'm right. I somehow ended up right next to him. I hadn't seen him for about the last 20 That's minutes cool. of the show. And I put my hand on his back and he leans over to me and gives me another hug. And he's like, yeah. And then they play their song and he's in the mosh pit, like rocking out. And like, I can see like tears coming down his face. Like it was just this, it was this surreal moment, like this powerful, powerful moment.
That is so stupid for something like that to happen at a concert like that, like in a good way. Like that's freaking amazing. That's so real. That's just, what, like, that's crazy.
So my wife is like, don't go by yourself. That'd be lame. And I'm like, I wanted to go because I wanted to reconnect with my 19-year-old self. But actually, God wanted me to connect with this person. Like Amen. The whole reason Amen. I was at this concert was to connect with this person. Sure enough, the next day we're exchanging text messages with each other. And I'm going to end up getting together with him. He lives near where my in-laws live. So next time I head That's down cool. there, I'm going to connect with him. But there's something so powerful about that. But the reality is that I think men, and this is the lesson, I think men carry a burden that that is very difficult at times to share, whether it's miscarriage, whether it's financial stress, whether it's protecting, providing, leading, whatever it is, there's these burdens that we, and oftentimes we bury them beneath alcohol or other habits and things like that. But the fact that there's this commonality that was shared so quickly and the fruit of that reality, just like, I don't hug you as much as I hug this guy, Matt, and you and I have been friends for years, you know? And so, anyways, I guess the point,
it's so, go ahead. It's so interesting because like sometimes it's pride that keeps us from sharing stuff like that with other people. Cause I feel like I'm a sharer, you know, and I'm an oversharer often.
Yeah.
And some people would argue that you overshared, you know? I don't know if that's true. Like I wrestle with whether there's such a thing, you know, in certain moments, because you never would have known. He never would have had the support that he's getting from you, he got from you, had you not overshared. You know, and that's kind of like what I wrestle with is I had one of the best conversations with a dad and a mom last year in Bernie because I shared the struggle I was going through with one of my kids. And they were like, me too. And it was like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not a bad person because this is happening. I'm not a bad dad because this is happening. Because I see you. You're a good dad.
Right.
You know, and if you're a good dad and this is happening to you, then I must also still be a good dad. You know, like, or I may not be a bad dad. But that ability, that need to share, especially with men, you know, I think is, I don't know, there's so much that can come out of that if we just like open up at the right times, at the appropriate times with the right people. I don't know, just listen to the way that God's prompting. And I think that's exactly what you did. Like, you listened to what God, you know, wanted you to do. You weren't necessarily trying to make a Catholic point or a pro-life point, I don't think,
no.
You know, but it was more of a, this is what I've gone through, you know, and I think that was a Holy Spirit inspired moment. And you for listened sure. to that. And that's beautiful to see. And God did beautiful things with it.
And so in the same way that oftentimes women don't put on makeup for men, they put on makeup for other women, right? They're trying to conceal some of their imperfections. I think guys do that in regards to ego and pride. And they're trying to say, okay, I'm together and things like that. Like, we're actually in the trenches, not on a trophy case. We're in the trenches with other dads more than we're on a trophy case with other dads. And I think that we need to be willing to acknowledge that, acknowledge the challenge, the hurts, hopes, and hungers that every Catholic dad has.
Yeah. There's a brokenness, like, and there's a, I don't know, there's a dependence that we have on each other. Like, it was so interesting because my I was thinking brotherhood, but I think God wanted me to say brokenness because I think brotherhood is broken. Like, that's the connection that I think he wants us to make, is like the devil has broken our universal brotherhood of men. And I don't think we see each other as brothers. We see each other as competition, or as threats, and that's not good. Like we're in this together, and we need to see that, especially Catholic dads, with the dads sitting next to you in the pew. He's going through some stuff, and he needs you.
And you're succeeding in areas that he's not, and so you guys have something to learn from each other because he's succeeding in areas you're not. And so, how can we help better Catholic fatherhood? By connecting as Catholic fathers, right? As authentic Catholic fathers.
One of the inspirations I've had recently, you know, is like, I'm real frustrated with the level of volunteerism, the level of involvement from dads in our parish. And I'm like no different than many of them, right? And even with the experience that I have, I'm not doing a whole lot of volunteer work, you know, at the parish. You know, a couple things here and there, but our young people need to see dads out there. And so I've recently, you know, been inspired to just get a small group of dads, like 5 to 10, and call it, you know, like just raising the bar. Mm. I want to raise the bar of what it means to be a Catholic dad at our church, you know, and that's honestly, I think one of the reasons why we have the Catholic Dad Show is to raise the bar of what it means to be a Catholic dad. And to help other dads, like, you know, see that, do that, whatever, help each other, like, do that. Like, there's so much of this is for me. Like, the conversations we have, the stuff we talk about, stuff we go through is
for me. We're not preaching to the choir. We're preaching to ourselves. Yeah.
It's to help me raise my own bar. You know, I need to raise my bar, you know, and I need to do that every day. You know, every year I need to look at it and see, okay, how can I set that bar higher? And I want to help the men in my parish do the same thing. And so, like, taking what you just shared, like us, you know, being like a brotherhood again, working together in this fight, you know, we need to see each other as that. Sorry, that was a tangent, but it was inspired.
A beautiful tangent. So, good. All right. So, let's not hide our vulnerabilities, but rather showcase them, because actually that deepened, in this case, the brotherhood. Yep. And that's not uncommon. We have more shared experiences that we're just sometimes afraid to share. And not that we need to brag about our brokenness. Yeah, you know, you don't need to glorify sin by any way. But I think it's important that we don't hide our own need for the brotherhood that other Catholic fathers can provide. So, last but not least, there was a dad that brought his 10-year-old son. Now, in my opinion, I would, if my oldest son, who actually enjoys some of the music that I listen to, right? He doesn't know that it's some obscure band. He's just like, oh, that's the song that dad plays every now and then on the Alexa or whatever. So, I would have brought him, but I wouldn't have brought him as this dad brought him. Okay. So the kid had the earmuffs or whatever so that his ears would be protected. Good job, dad. But then he stands in the middle of the floor. And so when the mosh pit breaks out, like this dad has his kid on his shoulders and he's getting pushed all around the mosh pit, right? I'm just like, that's crazy. But then I saw what started happening. And wherever that dad was and the kid on his shoulders, because it's obvious because there's a human on top of a human, like the mosh pit got softer over there. And then when he got pushed around throughout the pit would get softer over by where the dad and the kid were. So the kid still got to experience being in a mosh pit, but he was on his dad's shoulders. Otherwise, it would have gotten all knees and hips instead of, you know, just being able to see it. But then it got, the people were trying to protect this kid, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And then the dad, and this is insane, but this is like 2/3 of the way through the show and everything. He tosses the kid up and the kid crowd surfs all the way to the stage and all the way back. During that time, the mosh pit ceased because everyone was going over to make sure that kid had a platform to get to and from. Everyone in that moment became this kid's dad and rallied behind him. It was awesome. And the kid was looking like he had just won the lottery. Like he was just so ecstatic and so excited, and everyone else delighted in him delighting and really protecting him and things like that. And then once the kid got back to his dad, the mosh pit started up again. Now, throughout the show, there were people going up and they would fall because they would get crowd surfed over into the pit and the pit's moving around and there's not a bunch of people there. And they would just kind of fall in. And you're just kind of like, well, welcome to high school, freshman. This is how it works. You know what I mean? And there was no business with some of these dads going up in the mosh pit, like some of these 38-year-old guys that weighed 195 pounds. Like, you know, like once you break 160, you don't go up. You don't crowd surf anymore. And there was one point this chunker was crowd surfing, right? And I ended up, his feet came to me again. And I'm like, I'm not gonna lift you up again. I'm not used to holding 195 pounds above my head. So I just grabbed his shoes. I just grabbed the shoes and I put them on the ground. And that was the end of his ride. I'm just like, no more. But with this kid, like I was like, I'm tired of this. Stop it. But for this kid, it was perfect. It was perfect for everyone. Yeah. And everyone became a dad. Someone ended up posting a video of it. Core memory unlocked. And then they showed the video of this kid. And and it was just this shared joy. And the shared joy wasn't that it was the adults. The shared joy is that we were together delighting in a child. And I think that that's something profound that as dads, like, it's not just about our kids, but other people delight in your children and you delight in other people's children. And I think that that's a beautiful thing that we as Catholic dads need to lean into that reality a little bit.
Yeah.
So when your son brings a friend over, razz him a little bit, play with him in the yard, whatever it is, like kind of give him a hard time. Be a dad to other people's kids as well in ways that are appropriate and things like that. But we as a society, I think, need to celebrate the children a little bit more. And it was instinctual. Even the people that didn't have kids became a dad in that moment because they were crowd surfing some 10-year-old at a concert. It was cool.
Yeah, it's so cool to see moments like that in the world. I forget who it was. I think it's out there quite a bit the world isn't what social media says it is. The world isn't what, it was actually like, I went to a talk. CT was he's a Green Beret. He gave a talk at our gym last weekend or a couple weekends ago. The world is a lot nicer than social media would lead you to believe.
Right.
You know, the world is a lot nicer than the news would lead you to believe, you know, because like, and you can see it in stuff like that. Now there are areas that are not the best, but it's not as bad as we think it is. And there's a lot of goodness there. Like, and that's one of the things that we are called to do as Catholics, as Christians, is to see the good and call out the good and recognize the good and say it is good. You know, that was a good thing that happened there. And like, it's so funny that like two of your stories, well, the one rehearsed one didn't, but the two of your stories really like made me tear up. Like really, like to hear the Holy Spirit move. Yeah. And guys, I'm a bit of a crier, you know, when I see God and can hear God and feel God and sense God moving, I'm moved to tears. And that's what happened, you know, like with a couple of these that you shared, Chris. And that's just so beautiful to see, you know, dads do that. Cause so often we're afraid to let our kids experience the world because we're afraid of the world, you know, but the world isn't as scary as we think it is. Now there are, I mean, I'm not saying this, there's not bad things out there, but it's not that bad. And it's just so cool to hear that story of that kid crowd surfing, because most parents would be like, oh my God, there's no way I'm letting my kid out of my sight or out of my control at the age of 10. Because then that kid was literally under the control of all these other people in the concert. Like, that kid nor that dad had any control over where that kid was going. But there was a trust there that dad had in the crowd, in the people, and the kid in the people. And it was returned. That trust was returned, you know, in a beautiful way. And it got to show, I don't know, a goodness that exists out there in the world.
And that trust was built through the first 2/3 of that concert, of that act. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because he was in the mosh pit and people were protecting him and his kid in the mosh pit. Because there were plenty of people that got knocked on the ground. And yes, they got help back up. But the trust was warranted at that point, you know? So it's not like the dad was completely imprudent. I do think he took a risk. I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not sure if I would have been as bold as that dad was. But I will say that was not just a moment for the kid. That was a moment for the crowd as well. And
absolutely.
And our kids can create moments for society if we are willing to be bold enough to engage society.
Yeah. And we as dads are called to take risks. Maybe not like that every time, but we are absolutely called to take risks.
Right. Right.
All right, Chris, close us out.
All right. Hey, guys. So that doesn't mean you have to go to a punk rock show, but it does mean that you have to be willing, when the Holy Spirit prompts, share something with another dad, journey with another dad. You guys, find yourself trusting society, maybe a little bit more. People are generally good, if not great. And then crowd surfing kid, know that other people care about your kids as well. Even if sometimes the political pundits or the news that you watch or the social media that's consumed or the insecurity or the pride that gets showcased, puffed up by other dads, doesn't necessarily reflect that. When it comes down to it, share your kid's name with someone and watch them start to care for your kid as well. And lean into that village a little bit more. Let's go ahead and close out with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you so much for the gift of fatherhood. We ask that you would bless us to be beacons of your light and your love, megaphones of your love, into the life of young people around us, into the lives of other dads, that we might be able to showcase your love in the public sphere in a special way, that fatherhood might better society, and that society might partner with our fatherhood. We love you, Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Dude, if you hadn't pointed out sphere earlier, I wouldn't have noticed it in the prayer, but you did.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We believe that Catholic fatherhood is changing the world, so go change the world. We love you guys.